Big new questions about who watches Wall Street under the Trump administration. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. A top regulator is calling it quits, opening the door for the Trump administration to dramatically change the way Wall Street is regulated. Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Mary Jo White is stepping down. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us from Washington to talk about what this may mean. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Mark.
So first, Mary Jo White, tell us about her track record at the SEC.
So unlike some of her predecessors at the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is supposed to be the watchdog on Wall Street, she didn't really have to deal with a big crisis a la housing market collapse. She instead had the job of implementing Dodd-Frank financial regulations, kind of rolling out all the changes that Congress demanded during the recession. But doing that made her a bit unpopular on both the right and the left. Some thought she went too far with regulations. Others, like Elizabeth Warren, said she wasn't doing enough to curb the excesses of Wall Street, so much so that Warren even called last month for President Obama to replace White, which he refused.
And so it said it will be a President Trump replacing White. What does that mean for Wall Street oversight?
Right. So it's no surprise that White resigned. Donald Trump has been clear. He wants to roll back Wall Street regulations, as we've been reporting, including dismantling Dodd-Frank. It's also worth noting that once White leaves, there will only be two commissioners at the Securities and Exchange Commission. There are supposed to be five. Congress has blocked President Obama's nominees to fill those spots, so Trump will actually need to pick at least three people to keep an eye on Wall Street once he gets to office.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you.
You're welcome, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are something of a mixed bag in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.6%, but in Germany, they are down 0.1%. Asian markets closed mixed. Congress is back in D.C. with a pile of work to do and not a whole lot of time. The government only has funding to stay open until December 9th. So first order of business is a spending bill. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports on the choices lawmakers face.
It's been a while since Congress has approved funding for the government for a full year the way it's supposed to, opting instead for stopgap measures that last a few months. So how about now? Jim Timon is with the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials.
I think it's about a 50-50 shot that they kick the can down the road to the next administration.
Timon says he expects transportation to be given priority in the lame duck session and beyond. And then there's that whole defunding Obamacare thing.
And there is some talk of trying to do something even in the lame duck session.
Bob Bixby is the executive director of the Concord Coalition, a budget watchdog group. In addition to zeroing out Obamacare, he says increased spending on things like transportation and national security could present a problem when coupled with Trump's promised tax cuts.
So I kind of look at it and think that we're probably going to see some very large budget deficits coming out of the next few years.
One thing about lame duck sessions, however, if you do pass spending increases, it's easy to just pin that blame on the outgoing Congress. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
President-elect Trump says he'll boost the economy by pouring money into fixing America's roads, bridges, and airports. Details are scarce, but the number $500 billion has been tossed around. Marketplace's Rima Kreis takes a look at one infrastructure project and its economic impact so far.
Last year, after his job ended at a construction site, 21-year-old Alberto Gomez
started getting lazy like everyone else does.
A month passed, then two.
I said I gotta get off my butt and just go to work again.
He didn't need to go far. A huge project to rebuild LA's 6th Street Viaduct was just getting started. You may have seen this iconic bridge with its swooping steel arches. It's played a supporting role in more than 1,500 movies and commercials. Remember that drag racing scene in Grease? The bridge had been weakened by what's known as concrete cancer, not what you want during a big earthquake. For months, Gomez has been working on the bridge's demolition.
I'm blessed with this job, and it's like a long stretch over 4 years on this job site. So close to home, can't get any better than that, right?
Gary Lee Moore, the city engineer for Los Angeles, says the new bridge will have bike lanes and a 12-acre park underneath it. He says the roughly $500 million project will put hundreds of people to work.
It's a lot of real jobs. For instance, a laborer, their hourly wage is in the low $30 range.
There will also be work for steel producers, LED designers, structural engineers. Then there are what Joseph Kane from the Brookings Institution calls induced jobs, like extra staff for nearby restaurants or
the barber, perhaps, who who could be cutting the construction workers' hair.
A report from Standard & Poor's says a $1.3 billion investment in infrastructure can pump $2 billion into the economy. But there are downsides. Moses Aguilera owns a bodega two blocks from the L.A. construction site, and he says sales are way down.
Yes, like 30%.
And the bridge won't be done until 2019.
This is the beginning. We don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Construction worker Alberto Gomez knows what he wants for his future, enough work to finally be able to move out of his mom's house. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
And finally, you might think of running shoes as a nonpartisan zone, but these days even our feet aren't safe from today's harsh politics, as New Balance is learning. It all started when an executive at the shoe company made supportive comments about President-elect Trump, inspiring some folks to light their shoes on fire and share the infernos on social media. Over the weekend, New Balance picked up some support, but not the kind it wanted. It was an endorsement from a white supremacist website. Now New Balance is just begging to be let out of the political cage match. Its latest statement says the pro-Trump comments were taken out of context and the company, quote, does not tolerate bigotry or hate in any form. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance, and I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.